Say amen. Not yet. I must not have told you. So I'll wait. I didn't say it. I didn't. Okay. Well, that's why I'm waiting. I heard one preacher say one time, he said, as long as I hear pages turning, he said, I'll wait. And he said he often thought that pages turning in the Bible is what angels' wings sounded like. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Romans chapter number 9. Now are you there? Say amen. All right, let's stand. Reverence to read of God's word this morning. We'll read the first 5 verses of Romans chapter number 9. And if you'd please pray this morning as we try to deliver the message, it's something the Lord's really burdened my heart with. And so I appreciate your prayers this morning. The Bible says in Romans 9, verse number 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. My Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I do come to you this morning. And Father, once again, we've had the opportunity to read your precious word, and I thank you for that today. And I pray that you would bless the reading in the ears of your people. And Father, I pray even greater than that, that you would bless it to our hearts today and help us to apply it to our lives. And Father, as the message, Lord, and the thought and God, even the burden that you've laid on my heart today, Lord, I am trying to understand it. Lord, I'm trying to, Lord, seek your face in this matter, Lord, for my own life. And Father, I pray that you'd help the church today, Lord, help your precious people, God, to be able to receive this message. Lord, I don't want them to receive it from me. I want them to receive it from you. And I pray that the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would have his will and way in every heart and every life today, Lord. I pray that each heart would be open to the reception of the things that the Spirit would impress upon them. I pray that our minds, Lord, would be clear so that we might be able to receive and think, Lord, and meditate upon these things that we hear today. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would be touched and challenged from the Word of God today. And Father, we just want to ask you, Lord, once again, to have your will and your way in all things that we say and do. And Father, we appreciate all that you've done thus far. And Lord, how greatly we need you now. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing this morning. Be seated. The epistle of Romans that Paul wrote here is very interesting. It's broken down really into 3 parts. And it's broken down into chapters. This is pretty common how you would find most people would identify the book of Romans. If we were to take chapters 1 through 8, we could say that those things are dealing with doctrinal issues. And mainly it's dealing with man's sin and God's salvation. And then we were to come to the next part, which would be chapters 9 through 11, and that's what we call parenthetical, or it seems to be that Paul has almost kind of set aside chapters 9 through 11 to deal with something very specific, and he does. He's actually dealing with the Jews, and he's dealing with the Jews as they pertain to God, both in the past, the present, and in how God will deal with the Jews in the future. And then if we were to go to chapters 12 through 16, we would find that that's very practical Bible, very practical chapters in the Word of God, the book of Romans. And that's how we apply God's salvation to our Christian living. So the book of Romans in itself is a very good book. It's a very easy book to read in the sense that there's not really too many big words in there or anything hard to understand. But it's something very good. I would encourage you to read through the book of Romans. Book of Romans and the book of John. Usually when we give out, they print gospel pieces of the Bible to send out. Usually it's John and Romans that they send out because they're very easy books of the Bible to understand. So the verses that we deal with here this morning and that I read to you in your hearing begin that parenthetical portion of Scripture in chapter number 9. And we'll be applying these verses to our lives. And I'm going to ask some questions this morning. In fact, I'm going to ask some very hard questions this morning, questions that I've already, Brother Brian, asked myself, and some things that I've actually tried to start applying to my life because I feel that God is beginning to deal with me. I talked with a friend of mine this week, And as we were talking, and what I believe that something the Lord had burdened upon my heart, that and as I talked to this friend, he brought up these scriptures, and the Lord almost immediately said that that was the direction that he wanted me to go for this morning in sharing that burden with you. But before we actually begin to deal with these verses here in chapter number 9, we must remind ourselves of the verses in the previous chapter, in chapter number 8. And I want you to look there with me. I'm just going to read these chapters, verses. I'm not going to dwell on them. But I just want to remind you how Paul finishes up chapter number 8, and again, this doctrinal thing dealing of man's sin and God's salvation. Then he leads over into chapter number 9, and yes, he is dealing with the Jews in chapter number 9. He was writing to Rome, to the church at Rome there, who was made up of the Jewish people. And so we find here in chapter number 8, verse number 35, these should hopefully be some familiar verses to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. I say amen. Paul, I agree with you on that. Verse number 38, for I am persuaded. I've got another message that the Lord gave me some time ago on that very verse right there. For I am persuaded. There's several things that Paul has been persuaded all, but he says here, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you're saved this morning, you can't lose it. Amen. There's no way possible that if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior that you can lose that. Amen. That would have to mean that whatever it is that caused you to lose it was more powerful than God. And we know that's an impossibility. Amen. That cannot happen. And so I read these verses here to you because they're important as we lead over into chapter number 9. Why are they important? Because it is the understanding of Christ's love for us that constrains us to love others. Amen? It's the constraining love of Christ that compels us to go out and even witness to other people, that compels us and draws us to that place where men and women, boys and girls are dying and going to hell, and therefore we must, as Fanny Crosby, as we put on the back of the bulletin, we must tell the story. We must tell the story, amen? So I'm certain in my heart, Brother Randy, that we have neglected this understanding to the point that we have forgotten our responsibilities as professing Christians. What responsibility is that? How important it is to win the lost. We can't save them, but we can win them. How do we win them? We win them by our conversation. We win them by our mannerisms. We win them by our presentation of our lives before them, and they see something different in us. We win them to Christ so that they may accept Him as Lord and Savior. And I want to preach for a few moments on this thought, simply a true burden. A true burden. As we begin chapter number 9 here, and we look at what Paul says, I want you to notice just simply this morning three things about this burden that Paul has. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, I want you to see the honesty of his burden. I want you to see the honesty. Look with me in your Bibles, if you will, please, there, in verse number 1 of chapter 9. He says, first of all, he says, I say the truth in Christ. Now, this is not just a confession before those at Rome, but this is also a confession before the Lord Jesus Christ as well. You see, Paul just wasn't coming to Rome and saying that I want to present this to you. He says, I speak the truth in Christ. I speak the truth in Christ. And what he's telling them there is, he says, yes, I am confessing this before you, brethren. And he's talking about that. We'll get to that in a moment. He's talking about them as kinsmen, as those of his own nationality. He says, I'm presenting this truth. I'm presenting this to you in Christ. But it's not just before them. It's before Christ himself. So in other words, Paul is being put on the witness stand, and he's telling the truth. He's trying to say, I'm telling you something that's important. He says, I say the truth in Christ. And it's important that we understand this because in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. And so it's very important, Brother Danny, that we understand when Paul says that he speaks the truth in Christ. He's saying this before the one who is the true witness, the one that knows his heart, the one that knows his motives, the one that knows his thinking, the one that knows everything about him. He is the one that he's speaking that to. He says, I say the truth in Christ. Then he says, I lie not. I lie not. And what Paul is about to say here, we'll see in just a moment, seems almost unbelievable that he would even say that. But it's true. There is no deception or malice in his heart or in his mouth. He says, I'm not trying to deceive you. He says, I have no ulterior motive. He says, there's nothing impure about this, what I'm about to say. He says, I lie not. He said, I'm being as truthful and as honest with you as I know how to be. And as I present my burden to you this morning, as I present what God has dealt with me about this week in my heart, church, I'm trying to tell you as honestly as I know how this morning, I am trying to apply this message to my life. I am trying to allow God to work on my heart. You see, because I haven't arrived yet. I still have a long way to go. Amen? I'm coming up on 19 years being saved, and I still, in some aspects, Brother Randy, feel like I'm still a babe in Christ. You know whose fault that is? That's my fault. That's nobody's fault but my own. Amen? And so I want to grow. I want to get a greater burden, Brother Daniel, for the things that God wants me to be burdened for. If God doesn't want me to be burdened about it, I don't want anything to do with it, because that will distract me from what He wants me to be burdened with. Amen? And so Paul here is being honest before these people at Rome. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. And then look again at verse number 1. He says, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. This is more than just a frame of mind. This is more than just an opinion. This is even more than just a simple desire. It is a complete consumption of his being and his very soul. This burden that Paul is about to pour out before these brethren here, before these people at Rome, and as I'm trying to pour out to you here this morning, in all honesty, it's more than just a desire. It ought to be in our hearts more than just a desire. It ought to be more than just a